Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, I kind of lost track of the days because I think a lot of us did with the holiday week. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Elam will be on the panel on my side. Jane will be here. And Dave, I have no idea who we slotted in.
I think it's Donna Behringer.
Oh, Donna Behringer, who's a state rep. That's right. We were trying to put that panel together. Fred is out this week. So that's tomorrow. Dan Buffa. We will talk Black Widow. You want to see Black Widow, Dave Klein?
I'm not really familiar with the superhero franchise.
Yeah, are you caught up on all the Avengers?
No,
oh, then
I'm
you
not.
Can't, then you can't see this because it all. Well, no, I'm just saying because it all intertwines.
Well,
you
mean, some of those movies, like, you can watch one without watching the others.
I think you could.
Okay.
Certainly, can you? But you know, don't tell Carl Middleman that
because
we'll be in trouble with that. So we'll talk movies tomorrow afternoon. I do have an audio cut of the day coming up. Also, Tom Closa, who. Tom is with the Oil Pricing Information Service. We'll talk about gas prices. So my morning started with this St. Louis Post-Dispatch story about Vladdy. Tarasenko wants out, and he wants it on his terms. Kevin Wheeler is with me this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk from the other side, the KMOX side of the building. Wheels, what's going on with this story? It's a good, juicy sports story. I like that.
It is. I mean, this is a big-time franchise player that's been with the team since he was drafted in the first round. Big part of the Stanley Cup team, you know, the building of all of that. He's the sniper, right? He's that, you know, the guy that the team lacked for so many years, and you finally got that guy that can be the 35, 40 goal scorer, and now he's not happy. And, you know, in reading through all of this, it's pretty clear that what he's not happy about is the way his shoulder injuries have been handled in recent years. And he, from his perspective, there's no more trust with the organization. And, you know, I mean, I saw that piece you referred to by Jim Thomas. Jeremy Rutherford wrote about it in The Athletic, too. And, you know, it's an interesting situation, Mark, because he doesn't exactly have peak trade value right now.
Well, right.
You know, I mean, you know, he's missed most of the last 2 years. And even when he's played, he was playing with or recovering from a shoulder injury. So it's going to be a pretty big leap of faith for another team to give up something of real quality. And not to mention the fact that he's also a big salary cap hit, and not that many teams can take on, you know, the $7+ million cap hit without sending that kind of cap hit back to you. So this may not be as simple as player requests trade, player gets trade, but we'll see. You know, I mean, Doug Armstrong's worked some magic in trades that we didn't think he could before. I mean, he traded a terrible contract with Yori Laterra and got Braden Schenn out of it. So. He traded two guys that they didn't really need and got Ryan O'Reilly. So he's pulled rabbits out of the hat before, but this is a little bit more difficult situation.
So how much of this, though, you know, behind the scenes, it's pretty clear, I guess, for people who have followed this, that he was not happy. He was not named captain. Ryan O'Reilly was captain. He gave some interviews, I guess, even to Russian media where his displeasure was known. It's hard for me to believe that that had to play into this dismal season that the Blues had, just all this stuff. You would call it ordinarily locker room trouble, wouldn't you? Or is this just he's not taking this out against his teammates, it's only with management? Doesn't it have an effect, though?
I mean, yeah. All of these things have an impact on how that dynamic works. You clearly don't get the sense from the way it's been reported that there's anything going on beyond what he says, which is the, you know, the lack of trust over what happened with the, you know, the not only the surgeries that were done by doctors that the Blues used, but also kind of their responsiveness when new problems came up. But, you know, when you're in this spot and you're, you know, you're kind of feeling like you're removed from the team, I'm sure it can make you feel like you're not really as big a part of what's going on in that room either, right? I mean, we hear that from injured players quite a bit.
Well, maybe we can put a couple of people together, Aaron Rodgers and Tarasenko, and just do a TV station or something like that, because I still have no idea what he's going to do. But this is a tricky situation. It's hard for me to believe he's going to be on the Blues still. Why would you even want that?
I mean, it remains a possibility, right? I mean, asking for a trade doesn't mean there will be one. And, you know, the team, I would say this. I would not imagine that Doug Armstrong will make a trade that hurts the Blues just to placate the player.
Right.
Now, you know, that can lead to other kinds of issues, right? That can lead to players not reporting for, you know, training camp or whatever. It wouldn't be the first time in the NHL it's happened. I know it's much more of a common thing in the NFL, but it's happened in hockey before. Hopefully it just won't be that bad, right? Hopefully you can match up with someone who's willing to take the risk on the upside of a guy like Tarasenko, who could be a big time goal scorer. And who knows, maybe they have somebody on their own roster that's unhappy for different reasons. And, you know, you find that kind of match as opposed to the perfect hockey trade.
Hey, Kevin, he's obviously waiving that that full no trade clause. Do we know if he has like a list of teams where he could say, I want to go to them, I want to go to them, I want to go to them? And obviously, if the Blues can work something out too, but do we know who those teams would be right now?
I don't think there's been a list of that's involved with him that he's given out that he would approve it to. But let's be honest, if he wants to go, he may not have as much choice, right? I mean, if you're going to say, I want out, but I only want to go to these five teams, the team might just say, well, we can't do that. You know, I mean, you know, those teams can't make the deal, or they don't have anything that we're going to value. You know, so it could turn into that kind of, you know, back and forth. I do think one interesting possibility, and I'll be honest, I don't know if it's been reported. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. I haven't seen it anywhere. But, I mean, a team that would make sense would be the expansion team, Seattle Kraken. I mean, they have all the cap space in the world. So, you know, and because they're new, they might gamble on an upside when they don't have to worry about, being at the cap or being, you know, kind of stuck with that. Now, the question is, what would they be willing to give up to take on that kind of cap hit for a player that does come with risk? I don't know. And there are other teams that might have some cap space. I think Detroit will have some cap space, but I can't imagine they want that contract for a player coming off injury in their situation without probably getting something else as motivation too. You almost have to add to the player to get one of those teams that does have cap space to take the risk, especially a team that doesn't think that they're going to be a contender right away.
So on the hockey front, how about, Dave and I talked about this at the beginning of the show, how about Patty Maroon? Three in a row, Kevin Wheeler. Don't you just retire now?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it too. Like, you know, before the Blues signed him, he's kind of sitting out there, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, didn't have a ton of offers. Wasn't like, you know, and he figured, all right, well, I'll play for a little less to play for the hometown team, and they go win the cup. And then he's got a little bit more of a marketplace, but the Blues didn't seem to have a spot for him, and he ends up signing late with Tampa, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, two more. That's pretty cool, man. I mean, it's not like he's just a hanger-on either. I mean, he's a contributor on those teams.
Absolutely. Yeah, he scored a goal the other night, I think. So it's a great story, and I'd be curious to see where – I mean, I guess they can go for the three-peat in Tampa. I don't know the contract status of Pat Maroon, but it is an awesome story. And then we have the Cardinals. Let's talk about the Cardinals. A couple of games that didn't suck in San Francisco, but yesterday wasn't so great.
No, it's not. And, you know, look, it's good, though, to go to San Francisco and win the series. I mean, if you take the three-game series as a whole – after losing 3 out of 4 to Colorado, to be able to go take on the best team in the National League, the Giants had the best record in Major League Baseball when that series started, and go take the first two, that's a really good sign. And hopefully you can win the series against the Cubs. I mean, you know, if you're going to get them, even if it's at Wrigley Field, if you're going to get them, now's the time. I mean, they lost 11 in a row before they won yesterday. And, you know, it's been as awkward of a season as it could be for them, right? I mean, the offense has been pretty quiet here for a few weeks. You've had tons of pitching injuries. You got another one now with Carlos out.
Well, that's a shame, too. I'm broken up about that.
Yeah, I mean, I know. You know, the problem with Carlos has been really, it's like it's either all or nothing, right? It's like he's either you know, fantastic or getting beat up. And that inconsistency is maddening for fans, but it's also maddening for the team, whether they say it or not, because, you know, it messes up the bullpen and you don't know what to expect from day to day. So, you know, they basically got, you know, two guys right now in the rotation that in Wainwright and Kwon Young Kim, that they got a pretty good handle on what they're going to get. Wade LeBlanc has been a really nice fill in since he stepped in there. I mean, he goes in and he throws strikes. But, you know, Oviedo's hit or miss, kind of like Carlos, but Oviedo's young, so we kind of understand why. And now without Carlos, it's going to be interesting to see who gets that spot in the rotation because, you know, Flaherty, we got some good news on Flaherty this week.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He's growing and he's starting to make some progress. Not like he's close, but at least there's, you know, progress in the right direction. But it's still the ways off for him and for Michaelis. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that after the All-Star break.
So for years I've had, Dave, remember I talked about my nephew, Patrick. He's in Minneapolis right now, but he's a Chicago kid. He's a Cubs fan.
He's got the virus?
He does have the virus. But look, I sent this to him yesterday. He's been pretty quiet, and we've both been pretty quiet. We trash talk a lot via text. And I saw this. You mentioned they won last night. Only seven Cubs teams since 1900 have had a longer losing streak than the current one that reached 11, and then it ended at 11 Tuesday night with the loss to the Phillies. And it's a disappointment because the franchise record was 14. They could have lost last night and then gotten swept by the, you know, Cardinals or at least two games and broke that record. And I'm disappointed that won't happen. But look, we've got nothing. Obviously, I even told them that we suck too. It's just amazing. The Brewers seem to be running away with that division.
Yeah, you know, I talked about this earlier in the week, Mark, that I'm curious to see if there's going to be a down cycle soon for Milwaukee because you go back about, you know, what, 5-6 weeks, and the Cardinals were on top of the world, right? I mean, they were top team in the division. In fact, at one point, I think they had the top record in the National League. Everything was going well. Starting pitching was good. Offense was pretty good, all that. And then, you know, they started having some injuries, you know, beginning of June. And then ever since the beginning of June, it's been a battle. It's been rough. The Cubs got off to a mediocre start, but then they got really hot. And they ran to the top of the division, and everybody was talking about, ooh, maybe the Cubs won't sell. Maybe they'll keep all these guys. Maybe they'll keep the band together. Maybe they'll go trade for somebody. And then they fell off completely.
And basically that whole team is going to be different next year, right? I mean, almost the entire team.
It could be. I mean, at the very least, the core players could be. I mean, you know, you got four huge free agents there with Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, and Kimbrel. So yeah, it's a pretty big challenge to either keep them or replace them when you're moving forward. And I wonder if there's going to be a down cycle for Milwaukee. You know, I mean, they do have the really strong front end of the rotation, right? Their front three are super good. So maybe that keeps them from the super collapse. But you know, their lineup's still not all that good. And at some point, they're gonna kind of calm down. I wonder if they're gonna come back to the pack at all.
I think they will.
What about the Reds, Kevin? Are you buying into them at this point?
Yeah, good question.
I can't. I mean, they do have some players. I mean, you know, they've got some talent there, but the bullpen has not come together at all. You know, they were counting on Amir Garrett to come in and close games, and he hasn't been any good at all this year. T.J. Antone's been hurt, so I'm not sure their bullpen's strong. Their lineup kind of comes and goes. They do have some decent starting pitching, though. I mean, you know, if Castillo can keep getting better as the season goes along and Sonny Gray can stay in the rotation, they can be interesting. I wouldn't write them off, but I think they have less of a chance than the other three teams.
So when is the trade deadline, and where is your head on that right now and what it might mean?
Great question. So the trade deadline is the end of July, right? So it's July 31st. Where the Cardinals are in that is really a good question. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on how they play in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If they make a run and they give the team, you know, some motivation to go out and get the front office some motivation to give up future assets for some short-term help, I think it would be, you know, that would be the way it happens. But I don't think, Mark, we should be thinking about the big move. I don't think that's in the cards because they only have so many – sorry for the pun, I didn't mean to do that. But I don't think they have many elite prospects past the very top guys, and they don't want to move those guys. You know, you don't want to move Nolan Gorman, who's 21 and at AAA and playing in the Futures game this weekend, or Matthew Liberatore, who's also playing in the Futures game this weekend. Like, I don't think they want to move those top two or three guys, and without them, it's going to be tough to get impact. But let's flash back a little bit. In 2011, they did not add any star players at the trade deadline, but they added a bunch of complimentary players, right? They went out and got Rafael Furcal. They traded Colby Rasmus, and in that deal got Mark Zepchinski and Edwin Jackson. They got Octavio Dotel. So what they did was they added a bunch of guys that really had important fits for things that they needed, but they weren't stars. These weren't big impact players. And I wonder if something like that might be in the plans this year.
Dave, flag the tape on that. Kevin Wheeler telegraphing what's going to happen in another historic year here in St. Louis for the Cardinals.
I remember when they traded away Colby Rasmus, just how pissed I was.
And really?
I was.
Of Colby Rasmus?
Yeah, I know. Looking back, irrational. I know.
Well, but where is he now, by the way? Is he in Toronto still?
Oh, no. He's been out of baseball for a few years.
Yeah.
But didn't he have a couple of good years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He was okay in Toronto for a couple of years. And, I liked Colby. I mean, I got along with him during the time when he was a prospect and all that. But, I mean, he wasn't a fit for that team at that time. His personality did not fit with Tony La Russa. It didn't fit with kind of that win now, mentality, because he was real laid back and young and wasn't sure how to work all that. So what they did is they made room for John Jay, who was that kind of player, right? I mean, just the way he was. That's how we build him at the U, by the way.
I had to throw that in there.
But, it was a smart move at the time, because you had a player that could come in and do the things that needed to be done for that particular team, and then you filled all those other holes.
Got it. Well, the Cardinals, and I've mentioned this a few times, they've been so bad this season that they've driven me to the NBA, and I'm watching the NBA Finals. Also because my wife is a Milwaukee native, Kevin, and I spent 10 years at WTMJ, the Bucks flagship, but kind of into the playoffs. I don't know if you've even been paying any attention. Game 2 tonight, Bucks and Suns. Suns stomped them on, I guess that would be Tuesday night, but I'm looking for this to even up. I got milkshakes on the line with Cusumano, big bet at Crown Candy Chicken, or Chicken Kitchen.
Nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
We'll see.
Yeah,
are you even paying any? Because it's funny. When I lived in Milwaukee, I followed the NBA all the time. Didn't follow the NHL because, it wasn't an NHL market. Kind of the same thing in an NHL market, right? Nobody follows the NBA here.
I do. I spent 3 hours breaking that series down on SiriusXM on Tuesday morning. So
I had no idea. So you are into? I had no idea, Wheeler. I really didn't. Or are you just joking with me?
I mean, I'm all around, dude. I mean,
this is not true. This is fake news.
I'm a Pistons guy back in the day, so yeah.
You are lying about this, right?
No.
You're telling me you were on Sirius and you were breaking down the NBA series? I don't believe you.
I was hosting, man. I was filling in, doing 3 hours, interviewing guys, talking everything. Yeah, bro.
Well, I know that you can do that, but if I'd have known that, I would have tapped into you for some NBA knowledge
ahead
of this. The ever-talented, we learn something about him every time. Kevin Wheeler this afternoon. I appreciate it. I know you're on the road this afternoon, so that's great. Cubs and Cardinals this weekend. We'll see if we can get a good result. Thank you, Wheels.
All right, bye. We'll see you.
I didn't know he – I mean, he knows everything about sports, but I didn't know he was
– I thought he was messing with us.
I don't know, really. It sounded like he was doing some filling. It wouldn't take him too much to get up to speed. I mean, he follows sports, but that I didn't expect. And he's not one to spread fake news, that Kevin Wheeler.
He sounded serious,
I
gentlemen.
I think he was serious. Yes. Right. Thank you, Sue. Sue's weighing in as the adjudicator.
Thank
and I
you.
Think that Sue is right. It's 525, 97.1 FM Talk. Gas prices through the roof. Any help in sight? Any relief in sight? We'll find out next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, we're going to have a free exchange tomorrow afternoon. It's the Reardon Roundtable to take you into the weekend every Friday, 3 o'clock on my side tomorrow, St. Charles County Councilman, he's the chair of the St. Charles County Council, Mike Elon. I almost demoted him there because he is the chair. Also, Jane will be on the panel and State Rep Donna Berenger. Well, gas prices have been a little nutty. What's going on there? Tom Kloza with me this afternoon. He's the global head of energy at Opus, which is the oil price information service. He's joined me for years. Tom, welcome back. How are you?
Not too bad. It's kind of an interesting summer, a summer of sizzle and scrambling.
Yeah, so what's the – usually when we have these conversations, there are a multitude of factors that go into gas prices going up or down. Is that the case here?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the price of crude oil has gone up consistently since last summer with the COVID recovery. You know, it looked like we were going to approach $80 on Monday, and then the market backed off a little bit. But crude oil, every $10 increase in the price of crude equates to about 25 cents a gallon in the raw cost. And that's most of it. The other part of it is if you see any places where there's bag pumps or there isn't gasoline for a few hours, that's because of a driver shortage for tank trucks. So hopefully the public won't get too alarmed and won't panic at all costs.
You know, the driver shortage issue is interesting because I pointed this out last summer when we were hearing about the shortage of oxygen in California. Part of that was because it really wasn't a lack of oxygen. It was just the infrastructure to supply it. But it was also because they couldn't find the workers to drive the trucks or that some had tested positive. They were in quarantine, things along those lines. So it got very complicated.
Oh, yeah. And think about it this way. On a typical day in the summertime, you know, in 2019, last normal year, you'd have about 50,000 transport trucks hauling fuel. Last year, that dropped down to about 25,000 for a grand portion of the year there. And a lot of the drivers just left. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't compete with that. And there were doubts about demand ever getting back to anywhere near where it was a few years ago. So it's a real shortage of drivers, and, you know, they've got a tough job. It's like some of the other places where there's job shortages. You probably need to make a little bit more money to justify it.
So on the crude prices, are there other factors outside of just demand going up? Are there other things that are influencing this right now?
This is the most disciplined OPEC, you know, the cartel, plus Russia and some other friends, is the most disciplined I've seen them in, you know, more than 40 years. Usually I say OPEC has warning track power. You know, you get up and you think that they're going to hit a home run, but they start to leak oil and they break up and they have all sorts of internecine fighting and so forth. But this time, at least for about 15 months or so, they've been incredibly disciplined. And the Saudis in particular are not releasing a lot of the oil in their pocket. So there's about 5.5 or 6 million barrels a day of easy to access oil capacity out there in the world. But perhaps they're worried about COVID in the Southern Hemisphere and all the variants, but they're not releasing it at the moment.
So when you say that, when you kind of get into this a little bit more specific, because some of us aren't experts in the oil and gas industry, when you say OPEC has been somewhat disciplined, what does that mean?
That means that when they agree to, you know, keep production at 20 million barrels a day, they keep production at 20 million barrels a day.
Gotcha.
Usually you had to fudge, you know, how much there would be cheating. They don't call it cheating. They call it leaking, by the way. You know, so if you ever cheat a card, say you weren't cheating, you were leaking. But they've been very, very disciplined, and they don't want to get into one of those market share battles that brought crude oil really to virtually worthless status in April 2020.
So where do we have the typical high price points? California, usually the highest. We get off a little easier here in the Midwest and Missouri, in particular on the Missouri side because of low gas tax prices. But is that pretty much how it's fallen down across the country?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of diversity. But if you're in the Rocky Mountains and on the West Coast, there actually is, you know, kind of a balance of supply. When you get east of the Rockies, there's plenty of fuel and there's still plenty of refining capacity. So, you know, the difference between the geography is pretty amazing. And the other thing I have to remind people is it's been about 7 years since they've seen prices this high. But if you go back 7 and 8, they were 50 and 60 and 70 cents higher. So this is not the same sort of apocalyptic price points that we saw, let's say, from 2011 through 2014.
Tom, this is a very highly a political talk show that I do here at 97.1 FM Talk, and obviously questions about policies from presidents come into play. So when it comes to this administration and any policies relating to oil prices or gas prices, is that driving this at all?
The answer is not yet. And the answer is this has nothing to do with killing the Keystone XL pipeline. And this has nothing to do with suspending the granting of leases in New Mexico, Texas, or federal lands. We've got plenty of acreage available for exploitation in the U.S. If anything, you might question why the oil companies have been so disciplined. Perhaps they don't want to go through the cycle of boom and bust. It's kind of boom right now, but there have been two busts in the last 10 years. So this is not the president's fault. When we saw high prices early in the Trump administration and low prices, incredibly low toward the end of the administration, wasn't his fault either.
So this is where I ask you, and I think you've kind of done this throughout the course of the conversation, but are you able to take the crystal ball out any further and kind of give us an indication of where you think this is going to land in the next few months toward the end of the year?
Yeah. I would say that, to evoke Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve, this is transitory. This really is transitory inflation. You're going to pay, probably $3 or more for much of the summer, but then prices will go down in the fall and winter like they typically do. And I doubt whether OPEC can keep this discipline, beyond, let's say, 2021. There's already some indications that there's some breakups and some histrionics going on there. So we're not going back to $100 oil or $140 oil like we saw back in 2008. There's just, too much emphasis on decarbonization for that to happen. And there's still the worries about, the various COVID variants and what they might do to emerging country demand.
Tom Closa, who is a veteran oil and gas analyst with the Oil Pricing Information Service. And Tom, we've known each other for many years. We usually dabble on the fantasy baseball front. I do not play fantasy baseball, but you do. And I'm just hoping that your team is good and that you do not have any St. Louis Cardinals on your team this season.
I don't, but my team is so miserable. I mean, I feel like Gene Mauk years ago when he kind of, collapsed at the end of the year. I just have a miserable, miserable team. And no, I don't have any Cardinals on it. But unfortunately, everyone else I have is performing about 40% below expectations.
Yeah, well, I can say I feel your pain from last year. Fantasy football, that fantasy football year that I had last year might have been the one to drive me out of fantasy football from here to the end of time. I've never dabbled in baseball. That's too complicated for me, Tom Closa. But I would be careful about picking up any Cardinals, sadly, throughout the rest of the season. Great to have you on. Appreciate the insight, as always. Tom Closa, we'll have you back.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, 538. Look, the gas price thing, and I'm in a position right now in my life where I don't get concerned about gas prices and paying that much at the pump. I'm very lucky because of that. But look, I remember a time where years ago, this is 20 years maybe ago when I went through my divorce, Sue. It was a tough situation for a variety of reasons, but my kids ended up being here for a while when I was in Milwaukee. So I would drive either to Bloomington, Illinois to pick them up. Their mom would take them there. Then we'd go back, or I'd drive all the way here. And sometimes, because at that time I was paying lawyers, I had no money.
Gosh.
I didn't even have enough money for a hotel, or I didn't want to spend the money. So I would actually drive here, pick up the kids, and then I'd go to Columbia another 2 hours because I had a place to stay there and I had friends there. But I bring it up because I bought, I thought I was doing the smart thing. I bought a Volkswagen Golf diesel, and this would have been 2003, 2004. Well, this was at the time, and that thing got great, great gas mileage.
Oh, I'm sure
it did.
It
was amazing. But
did it sound like
diesel
a diesel
price? No, it didn't really.
Oh,
it wasn't
that's
that
interesting.
Bad. Because those changed. My dad had a diesel car in the 80s, and yeah, those things rumbled.
Yeah.
But that was when, if I remember correctly, I know that the diesel prices were in excess of $4.50, an hour. And there was
goodness.
that breaking point, because you kind of do the math on something like that. All right, if gas prices with that diesel car go above this amount, well, then you're really not saving money. And
yeah.
I was pretty much at that point. But then it became a great bargain, I think. Gas went down overall and diesel prices. But it's tough. The difference. I remember going fishing one time with a buddy of mine in Wisconsin, and this was late, you know, late 1990s, and he had one of those big, I guess you'd call them dually trucks. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a dually.
Truck guy. Oh, sure.
He fills the thing up, and because he was taking me fishing, I'm like, I'm going to get the gas, right? I'm going to put my. It's $100. It was $100 to fill up both gas tanks.
Okay, I remember I used to work with Billy Greenwood. We had a show in the afternoon, and he would tell story of going to, when he was working at radio when he was just a kid, he would go to the gas station because he didn't have a real credit card. He only had a gas station credit card. So he would fill up his car, well, or as much as he could, and then buy food inside because that's the only place he could afford it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just put it on the old gas card.
Well, and there is a difference between, look, if you're paying $1.50, $1.70, well, I mean, that's really low, and we did get that low, but let's say it's $2 or $2.15 compared to $3 or $3.50.
Hey,
that adds up when you're filling up gas a couple times a week or whatever. It does add up. It takes money away from other things that people need to spend money on.
It absolutely does. It's very disheartening to watch those prices go up.
You know, it's also interesting to me how people want to save a penny here and a penny there. Because now maybe this is worth it, and maybe I'm insulting my mom and dad because I think they do this, and they're probably listening right now, but they're Costco members, right?
Yeah.
So they like to get their gas at Costco.
A lot of people, oh, like
Well,
the
they
Costco.
Love it, right. I've driven by Costco's when there's a line that's probably going to take you about 20 minutes to get your gas at Costco to save what? Maybe $2.30.
Oh, really?
I kind of want to go up and say, here's a buck.
I understand.
go to the Shell station.
But it makes them feel good. You know what I mean? They're happy that they're getting a bargain.
I do like bargains, though. There's no doubt. Because I think we've all been in that position. I know that I was, and it probably didn't make sense along the lines of what I was just saying is, I'm going to make sure I don't get gas there. Well, certainly I would never get gas in Illinois if I could help it.
Oh, heck no.
And that's just a smart thing to do. Even the people from Illinois know that.
Yes.
They come over here to get gas. But I do remember thinking in some areas, even here in St. Louis, you have places that are right off the highway where the gas price is going to be higher compared to other locations. You can see a swing in this region of probably 15 to 20 cents sometimes.
You really can. And I actually still have a gas card because it gives me 5 cents off a gallon instead of just getting the points, which is probably bad
that?
For me.
That's not a bad
BP.
Deal, though. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea
yeah.
they were still offering things like that.
Five
I used
cents.
To have the, before the pandemic, when we were all driving more, I had the car wash membership to Waterway.
That. Love that.
Well, I love Waterway, but it wasn't cheap, but they also gave you discounts on the gas.
Yep. That's a double whammy of goodness.
I ditched the Waterway, though, post-pandemic. Sorry, Waterway, because they put like a Tiger Express thing by my house.
Oh, those things are kind of great.
I thought that was good, too.
They are great.
They're great. 542. Thank you, Sue. She's coming up here with traffic. And then we're coming back. One more segment plus an audio cut of the day. Don't forget the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow, 97.1 FM Talk. Thomas Helbig is going to do some seminars. I know Mark Cox and I are going to be out there in August. We'll be giving you the details. He has written a book. He's been a retirement advisor for many years here in St. Louis since 1977. And he kind of gets you away from depending on the Wall Street style investments. And he wrote about this in his book, Your Key to a Worry-Free Retirement. Thomas, the whole team at the office, I met them a couple of months back. A lot of energy. They want to help you with no market losses. You can capture your gains, get your income for life with no fees and no worries. They'll teach you how to do this at the seminars. They'll teach you in the books. Or you can call them, make an appointment, have Thomas or one of the team members at the Retirement Advisory Group kind of walk you through the process of what they do to try to make sure you're secure in your retirement. RetirementKey.com. In fact, if you make an appointment, if you call 314-993-9494, they're going to give you a free copy of the book, Your Key to a Worry-Free Retirement. Retire with confidence, and many of those same things that he teaches in the book we'll do at the seminars coming up here in August. RetirementKey.com for Thomas Helbig.
Weather plays havoc on the exterior of your home. That's why Banner Construction specializes in the best James Hardy fiber cement siding and Pella windows. James Hardy is unmatched for its weather resistance and beauty, and Banner Construction is a preferred James Hardy contractor, as well as a Pella Platinum contractor. Don't settle for less than the quality craftsmanship you get from Banner Construction. Visit them online or call 314-569-1050 and have a banner day.
Have you been putting off life insurance for a while? With the long application process, medical exams, and blood tests, it's no wonder you put it off. It can seem so confusing, expensive, and time-consuming. But Ethos is a new kind of life insurance. Ethos is built with you in mind. Instead of a medical exam, you only have to answer a few health questions. Our application is 100% online
and can be done in about 10 minutes. You might even get same-day coverage. At Ethos, we match you with the right policy and the right price for you from top-rated carriers, with no medical exams and no blood tests. Now you can spend less time sorting through confusing paperwork and more time with the loved ones you want to protect. Go to ethoslife.com today to apply in minutes. That's ethoslife.com. Ethos Technologies, Inc. operates in California as Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states, and prices subject to underwriting and certain health questions.
At Shane Company, our values of integrity, respect, and excellence have always guided us in everything we do. My grandfather wouldn't have had it any other way. We've always sourced conflict-free diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and cultured pearls, upholding these standards. We buy globally at the source, eliminating all middlemen to offer you the best prices. We only work with reputable suppliers whose values align with ours and who make a truly positive impact on their communities. Browse our beautiful selection of fine jewelry or let us help you create your dream ring. Everything we do for you, from our welcoming team to our direct importing to our lifetime warranty. After all, that's what a friend would do. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Planning to chill out this summer? Ameren Missouri is offering up to $900 back when you purchase a qualifying HVAC system. So keep the heat where it belongs, on the grill. Find terms at participating contractors at AmerenMissouriSavings.com/HVAC.
The Annie Fry Show.
And these people have no interest whatsoever in trying to solve the problem. They can help, they can put a Band-Aid on you continuously, but they're not going to solve the problem.
Weekdays noon to 3 on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, when I say the name Four Seasons Total Landscaping, does that mean anything to anyone in the room? Do you remember that name?
Oh, absolutely.
That was the place where Rudy said that they were doing the news conference, right? And it was actually right next door. It's in Philadelphia. Four Seasons Total Landscaping. That's the company that hosted the press conference because they thought it was the Four Seasons, and it was not. So now they've turned themselves into a concert venue.
What?
They're going to host a concert Saturday, August 21st. It's going to feature Laura Jane Grace. I don't know who that is, but she is going to perform. And they have a whole booking of people that are going to play at the new venue there in Philadelphia.
And Rudy's going to play the ukulele.
Rudy's warming up.
That's
Rudy's
right.
Rudy's warming up. So this story, hang on here, because things happen. They develop over the course of a radio show, and this caught my attention. I don't know if you've heard about the president yesterday said something about how we need to go community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get people vaccinated. And the bottom line is we've kind of hit this vaccine wall in this country. So you have the variant, or maybe multiple variants, spreading across Missouri, Greene County, now Northwest Missouri. Now, however worried you want to be about this, I'm taking a wait and see approach. Not because I think it's not real, but because I think people who are vaccinated are fine. I think people who are not vaccinated certainly are getting this. Some of them are landing in the hospital, but those are the people that chose not to get vaccinated. Now, you kind of take this into a different territory when you talk about knocking on people's doors. Now, maybe you're not taking the president literally there, but then there comes this. This was on CNN with Dave. This is the HHS secretary, right?
He was on with this. Breonna
Taylor.
Yep.
Xavier Becerra, who used to work, by the way, this will come as no surprise to you, he used to be in California. So big government is what he is all about.
Perhaps we should point out that the federal government has had to spend trillions of dollars to try to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. So it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
I don't know that the federal government, in fact, I do know. Let me just backtrack on that. I don't think it's the federal government's job or the state government or anybody else to start knocking on doors and making sure that people are vaccinated. They're making the vaccine available. They're doing a campaign to inform people. I'm actually doing a campaign to inform people, and then people make their choice. That's how we do things in this country. I think it's important for people to be vaccinated. That's my personal feeling. I understand that people have different thoughts, and they'll have to make that choice. But big government knocking on people's doors to make sure that they're vaccinated, that's the Biden administration's position on this. I find that fascinating. We'll have more on that during the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 3.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we focused on this one only because I guess it's real, and Dave thinks it reminds him of something else. So this is a trans person on TikTok being very confused about why people who might be attracted to one sex are a little put off if that person with one sex has the opposite genitalia that they're expecting. Did that sum it up there, Dave?
It's a lot to take in there.
Okay,
let's see.
Let's see if it works here.
It is rooted in fundamental transphobia. I hear a lot of gay men saying to me, well, I like men. I think that trans men are handsome, but I could never, ever sleep with one of them. Well, thank you for telling everyone you're very boring. Also,
I do love that.
Please.
This is just transphobia. Like, I don't think any of you know what that word means, but it is, if you have to exempt or rationalize why you don't want to be with a transgender person in the first place, trying to get you to see how you're being transphobic is impossible.
Yeah, so this is, I offer that as the audio cut of the day because this is what we're up against. These are people that feel, that person feels, and I don't care what you want to do. I really don't. If you're trans, if you're gay, I don't care. But what I care about is someone like that who basically thinks that, Dave, because you're not attracted to a man who became a woman who might have a penis, that you're transphobic.
I'm the problem.
Or that a gay person, I think this is even more offensive. I have many gay friends. They would not agree with that person,
right,
by the way. That if you're gay and you're attracted to the same sex, if that member of the same sex has different genitalia, then you're transphobic if you don't like that. This is where this country is right now. It's absolutely stunning. But you thought that sounded like something else, didn't you?
The first thought that came to my head was this character.
Sacha Baron Cohen, mm-hmm, doing Bruno. Bruno sent me a message years ago.
Yeah, Mark, you came to Austria about 3 years ago. You left something in my room. It was filthy. You shouldn't have done that. Unless you want me to show the world, St. Louis, what you left there, you better give it the review it deserves.
I was, I don't know if you know what happened there, Sue, but I was blackmailed by Bruno.
It sounds
Bruno.
That
I was
way.
Blackmailed by Bruno, and I
that
did not
sounds
reveal.
Like Bruno, doesn't it?
Yeah, it well, kind of did sound like
a little
Bruno.
Bit. Little
I
bit.
Even think Bruno would disagree with the trans dude or woman. I don't even know what to think about that. All right, we're out of time for this hour. We're going to come back tomorrow with a Reardon Roundtable. Jane's going to be here. A lot of stuff to talk about from the week. Also, State Rep Donna Behringer and Mike Elam, who is the St. Charles County Council Chair. All tomorrow, the 3 o'clock hour. Dan Buffett will talk movies. Black Widow opens this weekend. Talk about it, 4 o'clock hour. And Frank Cusimano.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.